The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money.
What if your financial goals and your deepest convictions were perfectly in sync? Welcome to episode 98 of Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth planning from a perspective of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm Eric Terrio, and you know, we're surrounded by so-called financial advice every day, but how much of it actually helps you become who God wants you to be? Today, we're bridging the gap between your bank account and your heart's calling. Every week, we break down the latest financial headlines with clarity and focus, but that's just the beginning. And as always, we'll see if we can stump you with our weekly trivia later in the show. Then we'll spend the rest of our time diving deep into the principles and practical strategies that help you manage your wealth with a clear conscience and a kingdom focus. But first, let's look at what's happening in the markets around us in our week in review. And it's just us here, Joes. I have both Joes in front of me today, so I feel full of Joe, but I'm lacking a Jim. So Jim won't be here. It'll just be us fellas. But we have some headlines out there, things going on. We'll talk about those and discuss why those are important for our listeners and what they can do about them. But the first article I have here is that Dunkin' Donuts, which is now called Dunkin', they're exiting an entire market this year after 14 years. So they moved into India. Yep, they expanded, and they had about 70 locations at one point in India, but it's just been struggling with weak sales and a recorded loss of about $2 million, which is about 1% of their parent company's total revenue. And some people say, why, right? Dunkin' does good. They do well here. They make a lot of money, but it can be difficult when you're trying to break into and get a foothold in a foreign market, right? There's cultural differences. And also Dunkin', you know, they heavily focused on coffee in a tea-dominant society, right? And they struggled with premium pricing and just really wasn't in sync with their consumers. And the brand failed to adapt its menu, identify. But then Domino's went out there and they did very well. They saw significant growth in the same region. So it's interesting to see how one company does and the other doesn't. But there's kind of a global lesson there to be learned that success in the home market like the U.S. does not guarantee international success. So you must adapt and not just have a one-size-fits-all strategy to survive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What a story, yeah.
Well, we'll keep drinking coffee here, though. And then the second one we have, I also have a heat map. So this is mapped where young adults live with their parents the most. So I don't know if our listeners can't hear it, but for the Joes here.
Well, they can hear it, okay?
I mean, see it, yep. They can't see it.
Not to interrupt.
No, no at all. And so the darker the state, the more higher percentage that younger folks are living with their parents. And we've kind of seen this trend a little while now, and but it's really up. It's about one-third of all young adults, what is it here, between the ages of 18 and 34. One-third, 33%. It is down slightly from the COVID 2020 peak, but in the 60s, it was only 20%.
That is astounding to me.
Yeah. Well, do y'all know folks with young adults living with their parents? Or
I don't, but I know. No? I know. Very few people besides the people here, you know.
Sure.
I don't have a life.
Yeah, no, he's a busy man holding down the radio station.
But that is surprising to me.
It is surprising, yeah. But when we take a look a little deeper, you know, there's a cost of living connection there. So it's a direct correlation between high housing costs and, you know, co-residence. So especially here in the high-cost coastal regions in the Northeast. And let's hear some of these stats. In New Jersey, 44% of young adults, almost half, are living with their parents. You know, in Connecticut and a lot of the coastal states. And that's where we see a lot of the higher real estate market as well, higher cost of living. So naturally, you would understand kind of where that statistic lands.
Just think of the family dynamics in that situation.
Oh, sure.
Wow. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people are happy when their kids turn 18 and they go to college,
yep.
and then they're out, you know. But wow, because they're making that transition from young adult, you know, from teenagers to being young adults,
mm-hmm.
and that's a hard transition to make.
It
but
is.
Then being an actual adult and living with your parent, that must be tough.
Yep.
Jeez.
And also, you know, how much is that impacting the parents? How much are they kind of strapped for cash? And it might be helpful for them if a young adult's helping them pay towards some of the groceries, the rent. You know, it might be harder if they were alone. So, but it's really interesting to see that, and kind of concerning. And then our third story, more on a global markets. Panama is asking China to respect their sovereignty for the ship detentions. So what's going on here is that there's been a surge in inspection and detentions of Panama flag vessels in Chinese ports. And this was because in January, Panama Supreme Court, they kind of messed things up there for China with the port. CK Hutchinson is a Hong Kong-based company, and they were operating two of those major ports. And then there was pressure from the Trump administration and different angles there to not let China have so much control over the ports. So essentially, Panama kicked them out, and it seems that China is retaliating with all these inspections and detentions. And, you know, like I said, it's been a flashpoint between the United States and whatnot, but CK Hutchison is saying that they've been damaged by this, and they're seeking over $2 billion in arbitration case against Panama, and they're calling seizures of their property unlawful. So a lot of effects there that will trickle down with shipping, cost of goods, geopolitical tensions. So we'll just keep an eye on that and see how things are going, because about 5% of global maritime trade goes through the Panama Canal. So I know we've been hearing a lot about the Strait of Hormuz lately with the oil, but also here's a lot of shipping and logistics going on there as well. So something to keep an eye on. And then one of the biggest issues, not really a news highlight, but I think it should be, is that our national debt is now over $39 trillion. $39 trillion. It's hard to even imagine, to fathom and comprehend what that number even means. You know, I think if you were to count that high, it's, you know, some crazy statistic that the Earth hadn't even been around yet or something. It's so much money, so many dollar bills. And I think, a few months back, we talked about how many dollars it would go to, like, the sun and back.
Yeah.
I forget, of our debt. And so it's just not sustainable. That's roughly about $115,000 per person in our country that we're in debt to. And just per day, we're currently spending over $2.8 billion a day on interest payments just to service that debt. That's a crazy amount of money.
But we keep spending, right?
We do keep spending, absolutely. And our debt is now 125% of our GDP, which is, you know, everything that we produce, all of our goods and services. Our debt is 125% of that. So, and we're on a road to $4 trillion, people. We really are. At this pace that we're going, $7.5 billion per day is what our debt is increasing. So you're saying we're spending more? $7.5 billion per day is getting added to our debt. And by June, we're on track to surpass $40 trillion. $40 trillion.
You're the guru. How do we stop this?
It's simple math. The same thing that we do with our clients on a personal basis or with, you know, companies here in the area. It's cash flow in and cash flow out. Yes, you know, we'll need to use debt as leverage to make moves at certain times, but just to have it rack up, increase, it's not sustainable. We have to bring in more money and cut our spending. It's simple math. It really is. But, you know, so the big picture here is that, you know, there's market fragility with Duncan in India. You know, even the most established towers can fall when the foundation is not aligned with the environment. Global brands are not invincible. Even giants like Duncan can fail when they ignore local culture. And in Proverbs 16:18, it reminds us that pride goes before destruction. So success in one area does not guarantee it in another without humility and deep understanding. We have geopolitical and fiscal pressure. We have the trade dispute we were talking about, $40 trillion in debt. What's the lesson, right? We're seeing nations and governments struggle under the weight of debt and discord. And when James is here, he tells us all the time that in Proverbs it says the borrower is the slave to the lender. As the national debt clock ticks towards $40 trillion, we see the collective burden of living beyond our means, you know, in a government capacity. There's a housing hurdle, young adults at home. Economic shifts are forcing families back together, often out of necessity, rather than choice. And, you know, in 1 Timothy 5, they emphasize the importance of providing for one's household, multi-generational stewardship. Parents and adult children working together to build a legacy despite a difficult economy. But many feel left out of the American dream. You know, that's really a tough spot to be in. But, you know, I think we should give a final word to our listeners that, you know, we don't just watch the debt clock or the trade news on TV just to become anxious. We watch them to become prepared. You know, wealth planning isn't just about accumulating stuff. It's about managing the resources we've been given so that we can be a blessing to our families and our communities, no matter what the global economy does. So keep listening each week as we help you find clarity even when the markets shift, prices rise, and the debt clock keeps on ticking. Well, we need to take a break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good, and my co-host, Eric, is out of town this week, so it's just me by my lonesome, except my very special guest here today, Joel Giovannetti. Just say hi, Joel. So,
yes, hi. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So people know there's actually somebody. If we were on television, they could just see.
They could.
Right? They could just see. But you have to help people along on the radio, right? But Joel, you're with New Hope Ministries, and has it been 6 months already?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Back in November, time flies, doesn't it? 6 months ago that I was here, yes.
It really, really does, yeah. And so for folks that maybe didn't hear that, or if you want to go back and hear that episode, it was episode number 25 of Money and Mission. And you can go out to Holy Family Radio's website and click on podcasts. And Joe, I think everything's archived there, isn't
Everything
it?
Everything is archived. You should be able to find it.
You can scroll back through various and sundry episodes. Look for Money and Mission, episode 25. You can also look up Money and Mission if you're on Spotify. And so we have a channel there. And you can go back to episode 25, or you can go to wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and on the homepage there, just scroll down. the homepage until you come to podcasts, and you can look up episode 25 like that. So anyway, so it's good to be back. But like you said, wow, time just goes
flying
by. And, you know, refresh my memory, Joel. Yeah. You know, you somewhere along the way decided to make, you know, development, right?
Director of development. Yeah, fundraiser I'm working now for, at New Hope as, yes.
Yeah, as a career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it was for 16 years I had worked as the youth program manager at New Hope. I was able to start various youth programs in our surrounding area
and
really, really enjoyed it. And the opportunity arose back in 2018, just based on my experience and connections in the community to step into being a fundraiser for New Hope.
That's right. And, you know, you see what a ministry like New Hope is doing, and it just sort of pulls at your heart. And but there's got to be a bit of a call.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well. And God's handprints was all over that. Like I said, for 16 years, had worked as a youth program manager. And I think I was ready for something a little bit different. I wasn't getting any younger, and while it was great youth programs we had, my son himself was getting older, and just was able to stepped into it was God's handprints were all over. It was a calling to step into working in development and fundraising, and I never thought before that I would be a fundraiser, but I wouldn't change anything. It's been just a joy and blessing from God.
Yeah. As you know, as you're doing fundraising, and we'll talk more about that as the time goes along here today, but you really have an opportunity to see a lot of people mm-hmm. being blessed and the joy that comes from giving. Right.
Yeah. Just the art of giving, having a generous heart. And, mm-hmm. and that was something when I first started in fundraising and just getting to that point of giving people, right, that opportunity to give financially and just making that ask and people want to. They want to help. And a lot of times it is time that they're able to volunteer, and of course prayer, and for people that have the means, and it's at all different levels.
At right? all different it, levels, that's
it could
right.
be someone giving a dollar to someone giving $1,000 or more.
Or 10,000.
10,000, you know, or sometimes we've even had, you know, grants that have been more than that. But it's whatever God lays on people's heart to give, to make a difference.
That's right.
And ultimately, the goal is to get people out of poverty, and people want to be a part of that.
Right. At which there is a cycle of poverty. And
yeah.
But, I mean, here we are in central Pennsylvania, and mm-hmm. I mean, we're sitting here in Shiremanstown, central Pennsylvania, and I'm looking out the window and you know, beautiful homes, wonderful town. Where is the cycle? We say the cycle of poverty, right? Is that really a central Pennsylvania thing? I mean, I know we talked about this in November, but surely it's over now, isn't it?
Oh, you know, I can personally share that I myself, James, was a child that grew up in poverty. Mm. And, you know, growing up, right, I'd look around and I'd see neighborhoods, you know, well-to-do neighborhoods, and there would be trailer parks, and there would be, you know, my own family that was struggling, and right down the road, people were doing okay financially. So it is around us, right? We see the lower income housing, the trailer parks. It's there. We just have to open our eyes.
We have to open our eyes. Actually see that. And you know, it's an interesting thing that we talk kind of routinely here on the program about things like inflation and the hidden thing, right, where the purchasing power of your dollars just kind of goes away without nobody shows up with a notice that says, hey, you can't buy as much as you used to. And But it happens. And all of a sudden you go to the grocery store and you find that dollars don't stretch as far as they used to. Yeah. You go to buy a car. Or, you know, if there's public transportation, the cost of that, I mean, everything just goes up in cost. And if and if you're not in the kind of vocation if you're not in the kind of employment anyway that you can sort of rise with that, or if your investments aren't keeping up, you know, if you're in retirement, then this becomes an issue very quickly.
Yeah. Right. And before, we were talking about that cycle of poverty, right? People get stuck in that cycle because, right, inflation, as the cost of many things around them goes up, unfortunately, what they're making does not go up. It's some of those lower ceiling jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unless they have a job where there can be an increase in salary, they're going to continue to be stuck in that cycle of poverty.
That's right. And it's okay. So that's, you know, a job where there's a ceiling, but then other things happen. You know, we really are aware that employers are cutting.
Yeah.
Are cutting the workforce. Mm-hmm. And so here's someone whose life is just going on and everything's fine and everything's wonderful. And all of a sudden the notice comes through and then maybe there's another job waiting. Maybe there isn't, but all of a sudden life had been fine. Life had been wonderful. And it all of a sudden just isn't.
Yeah. You know, good point, James. I think, you know, every week, right, we have people that come into New Hope, that situation, right? They had a decent job and they were able to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, certain jobs were cut, including theirs.
Right.
And they didn't have that initial opportunity to work elsewhere. And so they come to New Hope because they've heard from someone that New Hope will help them with food, but then also being able to get a job or and involved in a career.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And which is kind of so important because you as an individual may hear about maybe a neighbor, you know, is really struggling like that, or you know, somebody else in my church or whatever, but often the solution is so much more than like an organized solution, right? That doesn't just put a Band-Aid on it, but it really helps that person get back to a spot of, well, say wholeness, right?
Yeah,
I mean, to really restore and help that person not be out of the system.
And that to get back their sense of worth, their value, their self-esteem, right? Because that can be very difficult for someone when they've lost a job. And so when they come to New Hope, they know, okay, I can receive food, and then there's other opportunities where we will talk to them and help them budget their money, cut their costs, but then get to the point where they then will have a lifestyle where they will be able to afford the basic needs.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's so important in again, in an organized way and a very thoughtful, well thought out program, right? Mm-hmm. Really just coming alongside, helping to restore and get people back to where they need to be. So it's an awesome ministry, and you're called to that. We'll talk more about that as we go through the next couple of segments here today. But we are coming up on a spot where we are almost out of time, and we are coming up to my favorite part of the show.
It's time for PA Trivia. PA Trivia.
It's time for James's favorite part of the show, the weekly trivia. All right, so last week's trivia question was, although the charter was signed in 1859, the outbreak of the American Civil War delayed its grand opening for 15 years. When it finally opened in 1874, it housed 813 animals and became the first institution of its kind in the United States. Joe, what's this historic landmark called?
I have no idea.
The Philadelphia Zoo.
Well, I was thinking that, but I didn't want to. You know, I thought I knew it was the zoo, but I was thinking Washington, but I didn't know it. I've been to the Philadelphia Zoo many times. It's a great zoo.
Yeah.
It's a great zoo.
The first historic landmark. Wow. Yeah. First of its kind in the U.S. So this week's weekly puzzle, I like this one, and y'all will know why next week when we give you the answer. But in 1940, the Bantam Car Company in Butler, Pennsylvania, developed a rugged four-wheel drive prototype for the Army in just 49 days. Although Ford and Willys eventually took over production, the design is iconic military vehicle, which is a household name today, that was born in Pennsylvania. What is this vehicle called? In 1940, a prototype for the U.S. Army, a rugged four-wheel drive vehicle, born in Pennsylvania. What is this vehicle called? Well, if you think you know the answer, send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the correct answer to the puzzle on next week's show. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good, and my guest today is Joel Giovannetti from New Hope Ministries. Say hi again, just so people know that you're still here.
Hello, right? I'm still here. Glad to be here.
He is still here. That's right. And we're talking about Joel's work at New Hope Ministries and the work that New Hope Ministries does here in central Pennsylvania in a four-county area.
Yeah, four counties. So what are we? We're York and Cumberland and Adams. And a few years ago, we started helping people in Perry County.
Wow. Yeah. So that's some geography.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really all about helping with the problem of meeting basic needs for low income individuals and people who are maybe like stuck between employment where things all of a sudden run out and it becomes an issue. But, you know, food insecurity, I mean, it's kind of one of the places that New Hope works. And this term food insecurity, when I first heard it, I really needed to kind of try to get a handle on it because it feels like it's an official term now, but it basically means that people don't have enough to eat and they don't know where their next meal is coming from.
It's that right basic need that we all should have, where there's food that we're able to have to survive. Unfortunately, a lot of the families that before they come to New Hope, sometimes they have to skip meals and they have to choose sometimes, do I pay for the rent or do I pay for fuel or do I pay for food, that there's basic needs they have to choose from.
Yeah. And now you just pulled out a map. There's a whole bunch of zip codes on that map.
Yeah. This shows our New Hope service area, like I was mentioned before about the four counties that we serve in. So, you know, up in the Marysville area, we help people there, which is Perry County, and then all the way down to Adams County, Littlestown, and then Hanover, which is York County, and then Cumberland County. We have a center at Mechanicsburg. So we actually currently have, James, 9 New Hope centers. So, yeah, this map that I have here in front of me just shows the geographical location, and that last year we served over 25,000 people in these four counties.
Yeah, all in various. It wasn't just food insecurity.
People are hungry. That's the main draw, right? They'll come to New Hope, and once they come to New Hope, and then we're able to fill their bellies and mm-hmm. feed them, then they meet with a case manager to find out, you know, what is it that is keeping them in poverty? Is it a high cost of where they live, right? Is it unaffordable housing, unfortunately, they're dealing with? Is it a vehicle that they're having to pour a lot of money into that's not working well? Mm-hmm. For a lot of our families, it's the cost, the high cost of childcare as well, too. A high percentage of what money was coming in has to go out for childcare so that they can go to work. So we look at all those barriers, all those obstacles, and we address each one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so this cycle thing is just so much more complex than there's a lot of moving parts, right?
There is.
You mentioned housing. That clearly, if you're spending, you know, a significant portion of your income mm-hmm. on either rent or maybe a mortgage, then there's difficulty, clearly, keeping a roof over your head.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, one study that I noted in preparation for our meeting here today, as median home prices have risen as the result of inflation, right, which we talk about, many households are spending as much as 30% or maybe even more of their income.
Maybe more.
That's right, just on that. And you know, if you have to make choices, you're going to do that.
But then
you have other choices because there's only so many dollars to go around.
I think also the other thing, unfortunately, sometimes people that are in poverty, right, what happens is they're taken advantage of. So if they're looking for a place to live, and someone will have a very high price and they don't have something else, well, mm-hmm. they will say yes to that. So that's one of the first things when they come into New Hope, we'll look and see, well, what's the rent, and realize like, oh, well, we ourselves in New Hope know so many honest landlords. We can get you into a place that's going to be so much more affordable and can cut down hundreds of, you know, per month dollars that can go then to support their family.
Right. The caseworkers are to know, as you said, honest landlords. I mean, this is about building relationships, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And getting to know the communities that you're working in. How long has New Hope Ministries been doing this work?
Yeah, so just last year, New Hope celebrated their 40th anniversary. So New Hope started in 1984 and in the small little town of Dillsburg, right in central PA, and then soon spread to Mechanicsburg and Dover.
Right.
So yeah, for 40 years, 40 plus years now, New Hope has been helping people in our area.
Yeah, and as you get to know people, then again, just reaching out to those resources, which if you're in that cycle of poverty, like you just don't, that network doesn't exist,
right?
Yeah. Or it, either you've never had an opportunity to really tap into it or whatever, and if you don't have the right relationships, then it's just a big problem.
Yeah, it definitely works with the connections, building those relationships, knowing people in our community, and I mean we're so connected. New Hope is with the local churches, and so knowing the people that have, you know, an apartment complex that will rent it to a New Hope guest that we're serving is helpful.
So there's a strong relationship with the churches, which gives churches kind of a natural tie-in, again, to and maybe an organized way of working at these, helping these people, coming alongside, building in relationships that maybe some denominations have very organized programs, others maybe not, but still tying in. Yeah, talk a little bit about how that works.
We were talking about New Hope starting back in 1984. It was actually local churches in the Dillsburg area, and it wasn't tied to one denomination. It was many church denominations. Unfortunately, there had been a government program that was shut down, and these families had nowhere to turn to. And so the churches in Dillsburg said, we need to help these families. And so that was why New Hope was birthed. So from
so
the
all
beginning,
the churches kind of got together and
did.
Started this outside of church,
yeah,
right? But all
yeah,
the churches uh-huh. collaborating together, and that's where the whole project
yeah,
really got started.
And so for the last 40 years, that's been right. The church has started New Hope, and to this day, we continue to have churches through. Giving financially as well as volunteers, right? Volunteers we have from all local churches in our service area come out and volunteer at New Hope.
Yeah. So is New Hope completely staffed with volunteers, or there's some paid staff?
Yeah,
right?
there is. I mean, we do have thousands of volunteers at all of our New Hope centers, and then we have staff is,
right.
as well too. I mean, with our 9 centers, we have staff that manage each New Hope center. And also in the last few years, we've been able to start with our workforce development programs and our transportation programs, hiring staff of affordable housing programs. So
mm-hmm.
we have many staff that will head oversee those specific operations at New Hope. And of course, our development fundraising staff as well.
Yeah, so this transportation, I mean, how does that work? I was reading where the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation publishes an annual report on the number of people who access public transportation. And it's like, look, if I have any issues with my car or something, I just hop on some public transportation, right?
Yeah, that happens, right, in our local cities. However, New Hope, our service area, our centers tend to be in small towns and rural communities where there is not that public transportation system.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of the people that we're working with have an unreliable vehicle. So many years ago, we decided to start a transportation
yeah.
program where we are able to twofold. We can provide a vehicle to a family to be able to use, and we also have a vehicle loaner program where we will give someone a vehicle for a month, and then we will help them find a job, a career, help them with their finances to get to the point where they're then able to afford a vehicle themselves.
So it's not just, hey, here's a Band-Aid. It's, again, it's a relationship. It's working through multiple different areas in a person's life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's so many different things. We'll hit maybe a few more things when we come back from our break, but I also want to make sure that we take time to talk about one of the most exciting and probably best kept secrets that people have an opportunity to be giving. So Joel, this is just, I mean, I got so excited talking with you and just really digging into what New Hope is doing. And I hope our listeners, will reach out and there's good opportunities for you there as well. I think we're almost out of time on this segment. And so we'll just remind people that you are listening to Holy Family Radio on WHYF AM 720. It's Money and Mission right here on Holy Family Radio. And we look forward to seeing you in a couple minutes again.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good, and my guest today is Joel Giovannetti, from New Hope Ministries, and what a conversation, right?
Having fun, yeah. This is a lot of fun. Enjoying it.
That's right. And Joe, man, you're just helping it along there.
Well, that's what producers do. Just sit here and be quiet and let you guys talk.
That's right. I was trying to tell people how much fun it is to be sitting here doing stuff.
Oh, we're having a blast.
That's so right.
It is.
That's right.
If I have something to say, I'll say it.
You'll say it. That's right. So we've been talking about how New Hope Ministries really helps, to break the cycle of poverty.
Yeah.
Right. Not a Band-Aid, but building relationships and getting people back to wholeness.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. You know, quickly, just want to say New Hope's mission statement: we're a Christian organization that shines the hope and love of Jesus by meeting mm-hmm. basic human needs and getting people to a point where they're able to be stable.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, this is so important. We talk about this here on the podcast all the time. Money in mission, right? Your mission, you've got to be clear on your mission, and then you have to know how the money works in order to put things together. Well, New Hope Ministries does have a website.
We do, yeah.
I know that because I looked at it.
That's good. That's good, James. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is nhm-pa.org. So the NHM is for New Hope Ministries and PA for Pennsylvania. nhm-pa.org.
Right. But, you know, you go click on a website and there's stuff to read and there's probably a link that says donate.
Yeah,
or
so
sign
it's
up
very user friendly. So it has the heading ways to help, and then also the services that New Hope provides
right.
to our guests.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'm betting like Joel Giovanetti's contact information is or is not? Is it like plastered all over the way? What if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Joel?
Well, first of all, I'll say, hey, feel free to call me or text me. My cell number is 717-329-5119. So yeah, calls and texts are welcome. And yes, I am on the website. My office number is there as well.
Right, but you're never at your office. Clearly, because if you're doing stuff like this, you are not at your office.
Out in the community, right? At local churches and civic groups and businesses. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you go to churches, right, and civic groups and so on, what all happens there? Is it just kind of you're showing up to visit, or is it a speaking opportunity?
You know, it's a little bit of everything. It's mm-hmm. yeah, talking about New Hope, ways that people can get involved to volunteer to give financially.
Right.
Sometimes there are presentations. There have been times where a pastor is on vacation and they need someone to give a sermon, and whether it's been myself or someone at New Hope has been able to fill that time. So we'll take as much or little time as people would give us to share about New Hope, how we help, and how people can get involved.
Yeah. So you actually give the pastor of a church an opportunity to go on vacation 1 week.
Hey, absolutely.
That's right.
We will provide that as well.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, so call Joel, send out an email, go to the website, and Joel, again, you're available, not as needed, but hey, to help put the conversation together and find a good way to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Right. So this kind of ministry is like, it's all free, right? It doesn't cost a dime, right?
Well, you know, New Hope is a nonprofit, but the way we get resources in is through just compassionate and generous hearts of individuals in our community through their church, through them personally, through civic groups. So yes, we rely very much on people's generosity and compassion to give financially.
Right. And here on the podcast for the last couple of weeks, we've been covering a book called The Eternity Portfolio Illuminated, in which we're really talking through how people can intentionally structure their lives to give. But there is one thing that, especially if you're a business, types of businesses, I'll say partnerships and LLCs and everything, but you know, what we're getting ready to discuss here is something you don't want to do by yourself, right? You really want to talk to your accountant, talk to your CPA, And but the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has a program in place where if your business qualifies, you can make a donation, a financial donation to New Hope Ministries, and a portion of your gift
absolutely
will be credited to you as payment of your state income taxes.
Yeah, you know, phenomenal program New Hope started, you know, many years ago, probably plus 10 years when we first offered this opportunity where, right, we know most businesses do some type of charitable giving. And so we want to make sure that they also will be able, through their charitable donation, get that tax credit back to them.
That's right. Now, interestingly here, you can, if you're listening and you are a business owner and you are wondering, hey, just, I wonder just if I qualify for that, or maybe if your CPA or your accountant is looking for more information, does New Hope, are there like CPAs or accountants like on your board, or are there people that you could help connect with the tax provider community?
Absolutely. Yep. If you reach out to me, I can put you in touch with some of our wonderful board members we have at New Hope that they themselves are CPAs. They're accountants and very knowledgeable about the tax credit programs.
Yeah. I remember the first tax credit program that our business participated in there, and you did indeed put us in touch with one of your board members, and that was tremendously helpful. Well, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania also prints or produces a booklet called the NAP Business Contributor Handbook. NAP stands, it's not like, you know, I was tired this afternoon and I took a nap right now. It's the Neighborhood Assistance Program.
Yes, that's NAP. It. Yep.
That's right. But this booklet is produced by the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development, DCED. So if you go to dced.pa.gov, PA like Pennsylvania, gov like government, right? Yep. dced.pa.gov, you can look up the NAP Business Contributor Handbook, and it's 23 pages long.
And very thorough. That's why to have your CPA assist you. And that's
right. And we're going to read this entire novel. No, we won't.
And that website, actually, we have a link on New Hope's website. So if you go to New Hope's website, you will be able to see that link.
Right, yeah. So how does this work? So basically, the state has this program.
Yeah.
And the state legislature, when they're creating the budget for the state, they say, you know, we want to have a certain percentage or a certain number of dollars of our state budget be available to specifically direct into neighborhoods,
and local nonprofits, right, in Pennsylvania. So New Hope fills out an application to become an approved nonprofit to receive those mm-hmm. tax credit gifts. So every year we apply, and for every year plus 10 years we've been accepted for people to give donations to that program.
That's right. So what a beautiful opportunity as a business owner. You know, you probably carefully count where your dollars go and how your dollars are used, and often there is this push-pull, right? Because certainly we pay our taxes, and then we have to work with the money that's left. And sometimes that charitable giving feels like it just comes in conflict with the tax dollars. It's either way, it's money we don't have anymore once it leaves. And so when there's an opportunity to make a charitable contribution and have a significant portion of that count and actually pay the tax, now we've been able to do two things with the same dollar, right? So this just amazes me, though. This is probably, I feel like anyway, should be plastered like all over the place, right?
Yeah, we try.
many people have just never heard of this idea, which is the reason we spend so much time with it here, right? Yeah. We want the word to get out that this is a great opportunity to be making a difference in your community. And New Hope Ministries is a great way to help make that happen.
Yeah, you know, it's just a great opportunity, right, for businesses to make that compassionate, generous, charitable donation, and then to have a certain percentage of that donation come back to them as a tax credit. And, you know, currently we have for the charitable food program, CFP is what we call it, there is a 65% tax credit that whatever donation is made, the business gets 65% of that gift back through the tax credit. And we have that every year. And then certain years we have the SPP program, which is a special programs priority, where there's a specific program at New Hope. And so last year we had to help with our affordable housing program.
Right.
This year we now have for our workforce development. That's actually a 90% tax credit.
Mm. So good solid tax credit opportunities there. And wow, I wish we had time to read all 23 pages of this booklet, but I think we're, I hope we're getting the idea across. That's right. So, well, Joel, wow, what a blessing to have you.
This has been fun.
Back here again, and we have so much fun every time we do this. But we're running down. Anything you'd like to just leave with our listeners? We've got just a few seconds left, and then we'll close out the podcast.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. So many churches, individuals, civic groups, schools have blessed and supported New Hope over the years. So yeah. You know, we're so grateful. And please, absolutely, reach out to me. I would just love to talk to you. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, thanks so much, Joel. Well, you're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.